If you happen to run into Mark Manley, by the way, you might want to congratulate him. He was inducted into the Hall of Honor in the Xenia school system last night, and so he's probably riding on a cloud tonight. And Jennifer Burgess, also, who conducts our children's choir, was voted Teacher of the Year recently. And so if you run into her, congratulate her as well. We've got a number of people that are being honored for things that they do. There is a bulletin that has a number of announcements in it. I encourage you to look those through at some point. Maybe not during the sermon, but if I tend to lose you, that's a good thing to do. Some notes that I want to highlight are we do a ministry here called Showers of Blessing, celebrating the promise of life, and we're going to have one of those on Thursday. There's also a group that's going to be headed to Guatemala in the not-too-distant future. They're helping to raise money by having a dinner that Mariachis is hosting next Saturday. And Ginny or Val has tickets if you want to talk to them. And believe it or not, in the not-too-distant future, Mother's Day is coming up. There's going to be a mother-daughter banquet. Can you believe that? It's crazy. We're getting to be May already. So that might be something you want to put on the calendar. And there are ladies who are selling tickets back here and in the narthex. If you'd like to buy some carnations for Mother's Day, those are available to you. But mostly I wanted to be able to celebrate some stories about resurrection. And so I thought I'd share with you some words from the Gospel according to Luke. The last part of his story of the Gospel goes like this. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified and afraid, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. Have you ever felt like you were seeing a ghost? He said to them, "Why are you so startled? Why are doubts arising in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me. Touch and see. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, because they were wondering and questioning in the midst of their happiness. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of baked fish. Taking it, he ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I'm sending you what my Father has promised, but you're to stay in the city until you've been furnished with heavenly power." As important as the resurrection is, there are actually surprisingly few stories about what Jesus did after he was resurrected. You know that the women went to the tomb and they found the tomb empty. And then in the Gospel according to Luke, there was a 40-day period where Jesus continued to appear to the disciples. But as you talk about the stories, there are actually only a couple of them that appear. Matthew mostly has teachings. Jesus has sayings that, like, go and make disciples. In Luke, there's a story about two disciples going to a place called Emmaus. And then a stranger joins them. It turns out the stranger is Jesus. In John, there's a story about Jesus going fishing. The disciples aren't catching anything. He tells them to throw the net out in deeper water. Then there's the story about doubting Thomas. And then there's the story about Jesus having a private conversation with Peter, who asked the question, "Do you love me?" Luke also has the story that we just shared. And since these stories are so rare, I thought it would be helpful for us to take some time to look a little more closely at it. I especially was struck by what Jesus said when he appeared to the disciples. They'd gotten together and they were starting to share the rumors that some women had found the tomb empty. And then all of a sudden, there Jesus is. And his first words to them are, "Peace be with you." Would you turn to the person on your left-hand side and tell them, "Peace be with you"? Would you turn to the person on your right-hand side and tell them, "Peace be with you"? You get to say peace to everybody. Do you want to know that peace? Not just a kind of peace that comes from living in a safe world, but a peace that is a condition of the heart. Do you know what it's like to be terrified and afraid? Do you long for a peace that comes to our soul that only God can give? I'll confess to you that there are times where I have doubts and I'm afraid, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that everybody has times where they have doubts and fears, and when those can be overwhelming. I saw where there are even some famous people who have some rather unusual fears. Like, for example, did you know that Jennifer Aniston is afraid of flying? I was a little surprised at that. Did you know that Whoopi Goldberg is afraid of chewing gum? Why would you be afraid of chewing gum? Billy Bob Thornton, is this an actor you're aware of? He has this horrible fear of antique furniture. He says, whenever I get around antique furniture, I get creeped out and I can't breathe and I can't eat around it. He wouldn't be very comfortable in our house. Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean. Johnny Depp is afraid of clowns. He finds clowns creepy. He says, there's just something about that painted face and that fake smile.
Brad, if you polled the room, you'd find that everybody thinks clowns are creepy.
Everybody thinks clowns are creepy. Nicole Kidman is afraid of butterflies. I thought that was a little bizarre. Sarah Michelle Gellar from the Vampire Diaries TV series is afraid of graveyards. Apparently, all the filming is done in a set, and she won't set foot in an actual graveyard. Madonna, I didn't know Madonna was afraid of anything. Madonna is apparently afraid of thunder. And clothing. Matthew McConaughey is afraid of tunnels and revolving doors. So apparently not everything is all right. Did you get that? How about you? Are there things that startle you, that make you afraid, that cause you to doubt, cause doubts to arise in your heart? I have a really active imagination, and so I can imagine all kinds of different things. And usually when I try to imagine too much, I find doubt and fear taking over because I can imagine some really bad things happening. Notice here that the disciples' doubt and fear is a little bit different. They're not afraid of the worst. They're afraid of the good. They're questioning and doubting in their heads whether what is good happening among them, whether Jesus who's there among them, is really real. In other words, they're wondering whether what is good is happening to them is really that good. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever had something good happening to you and you wonder whether something that good can really be real? I wonder how often we miss out on God's grace because we think it's too good to be true. So how do people who have received this offer of the peace of God live differently? How should we live differently when we've been offered the kind of peace that Jesus has to offer? As I was reading through this passage, there were three words that came to mind. One of them is wow, the other one is witness, and the last one is wait. Wow and witness and wait. In the time leading up to Jesus' death, all the disciples betrayed, denied, or abandoned Jesus. And so I imagine that they must have been thinking to themselves, how am I going to ever live this down? How am I ever going to live with what I've done? I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life. Then Jesus appeared among them, showed him his hands and his feet, and promised them that the pain and death were not the last word, that God had something more to offer. And I imagine that they must have been asking themselves, is this really possible for something good to come out of the cross? And then just Jesus appears among them and says, I'm offering you forgiveness. You are forgiven. Don't you think wow is a good response to that? Wow. Then he opened their minds to the scriptures. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had your mind open? Have you ever been reading a passage, a story that you've read 100 different times, and all of a sudden you see something different in it? Or have you been struggling with a decision and then a verse of scripture comes to mind and suddenly the way through seems clear all of a sudden? What better response is there than to say, wow, right? There is a person by the name of R. Scott Colvin. Tollglaser, who's the pastor of the largest Disciples of Christ church in the country. It's out in Los Angeles. He has a quote that I absolutely love. He says, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. He also writes, "Jesus too lived with wow. His wow revealed a good news God, not a bad news God. His wow revealed a God ready to love, not ready to push away. His wow revealed a God who picks up people after they make mistakes, not a God who pushes people's noses down even further in those mistakes. The God of Jesus is a wow God of acceptance, not a woe God of fear. That's the wow of the essence of the good news. Even the cruelty of a Roman cross couldn't stop Jesus. Wow." He wowed them even more by coming back to life through his resurrection, living through his disciples, and living even today as we feel the presence in our lives. What if we got up every morning and asked God, "Where are you going to surprise me today? Where today will you show me something that will make me go, wow?" Yesterday, by the way, I tried that. Usually when I go to weightlifting competitions, I'm really nervous, because I imagine all the things that can go wrong, like I'm not going to make weight, and I was just over when I checked my weight the day before. Apparently you can lose 2 pounds overnight just by being that nervous. And then I worry that I'm not going to be able to do the weight. I've been doing some of these weights for 30 years, but for some reason I always worry that I'm not going to be able to do it. So yesterday I decided, what if I go into this thinking I'm going to enjoy myself? What if I go into it thinking I got nothing to lose? What if I go into it thinking, maybe there's something that I'm going to find here that I'm going to actually be able to enjoy? And you know what I found out? There's a lot of fun stuff going on around us. There's a lot of reasons to say wow. So what does that require of us? How does experiencing God's wows change the way that we treat other people? And here's my suggestion. It requires that we be witnesses, that we share with other people what God is doing in our lives. All right, did you hear that? Were you listening? Did I say that God asks us to be judges, to see the truth in what's going on, to judge other people, whether they're right and wrong? Is that what Jesus said? Did he say it's up to us to be attorneys, to take our clients and argue what's in their best interests? Is that the way this verse goes? No. Did Jesus say, it's up to you to be a detective, to find out the exact truth of what happened in a situation? Is that what Jesus said? Did he say, it's up to you to be the bailiff, to keep order in the classroom, courtroom? Is that what he said? Did he say, it's up to you to be the stenographer, it's up to you to keep a record of everything that went on? No. What did he say? You are witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. Our job is to tell others about what God is doing in our life. Here's an example of somebody I thought did a brilliant job of that. 2 weeks ago, I was across the street in Groceryland. There were like 3 or 4 things I had to get, and so I went into Groceryland to get my 3 or 4 things, picked them up, and then went to the cashier line. There was one guy that was in front of me. He had 3 or 4 things too. He gave them to the cashier. The cashier scanned them, and then the cashier said, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" And he said, "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. You could tell me 3 things that you're happy about today." She stopped for a minute, and then she actually came up with 3 things that she was happy about. She said, "Well, I just started this job 2 weeks ago, and I'm really glad to have a job." And then she said, "And tomorrow's payday, and I'm glad for that. And my shift ends in 15 minutes. I'm glad for that." And I thought, how cool is that? I thought, I wish I'd thought of that. And I actually have tried it since then, and it really is, it does work. So what are the stories that we can be sharing? Let me suggest a couple of them. One is, 2 weeks ago we celebrated Easter. We had 5 services here at Faith Community. We had the reenactment on Monday, Thursday. We had the Easter sunrise service, and then the 3 services that we usually have on Sunday. Do you know that over 700 people worshiped in the course of those 5 services, celebrated the resurrection of our Lord? Here's another I think we can be celebrating. You know that we've got these black folders that sometimes we pass, sometimes we don't, and there's a place in there where people, pardon?
I lost ours.
You lost ours? No, they're here. I can see them right there.
No,
that row? Well, what happens with those is Janet Schellen goes through them on Mondays, and if there's information in there about somebody who's our guest for their first time, she gets me that information so I can make a contact with them and make sure that they're invited back. Do you know that on Easter Sunday we had 63 people who were our guests in worship for the very first time? That's something we ought to be celebrating. Today we're gathering shoes for a ministry we do called Shoes for the Shoeless. We're going to give shoes to 60, almost 70 kids to make sure they have a decent pair of shoes to go to school with. Next Sunday, we're going to send off with our thoughts and our prayers a group of people who are going to Henderson Settlement in Kentucky to serve for a while. And we've got a group of people getting ready to go to Guatemala this summer. Those are all things we ought to celebrate. We are serving as the body of Christ around the world. Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. Our job is to tell others about what God is doing in our lives. Which brings me to my last word. Wow. God gives us the opportunity to experience moments of forgiveness. He says, you are witnesses of these things. And what else? What else might we be changing about the way that we live? Jesus also says, wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes and clothes you with power from on high. It is possible to be in such a hurry that we outrun God, that we get ahead of God. And the other thing that we can do is we can get in such a hurry that we outrun other people around us. And so if you start feeling alone, maybe one of the things we need to be asking is, are we outrunning the people around us? Aren't we outrunning God? The goal in the kingdom of God is not so much to get there first as it is to get there together. Not so much to get there first as to get there together. I think it's important that when Jesus appeared to the disciples, they were all together in one place. And he tells them that whatever happens next, I want you to be together to experience it. The Holy Spirit doesn't so much dwell within us as it does dwell among us. We're a community of faith, a communion of witnesses, a group of people who love each other. Working together and working with each other, I think there is nothing that we cannot do. But when we try to go off on our own and work on our own power, that's when we're likely to get ourselves in trouble. So here's a story that I think illustrates this, and it's an old and probably a very bad joke, but it fits, I think, and so I'll try it anyway. There are three people who died and went to heaven. And when they got to heaven, St. Peter said, could you wait just a minute? I've got some things I have to take care of. It turns out, though, that it was more than just a minute. He was gone for quite a while. And when he comes back to the First Lady and says, so did you mind waiting? And the First Lady said, no, I've looked forward to this moment for so long. I love God and I can't wait to meet Jesus, and so I don't mind at all. And so St. Peter says, all right, I've got just one more question for you. How do you spell God? She said, that's easy, G-O-D. And God said, welcome to heaven. Or St. Peter said, welcome to heaven. Then St. Peter went to the next person and said to him, all right, so did you mind waiting? And the next person says, no, I didn't mind at all. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I know that I'll spend eternity here, and I didn't mind at all. And so St. Peter says, just one more thing. How do you spell God? The guy said, G-O-D. Then he stopped and he said, no, capital G-O-D. And St. Peter said, all right, you're in. Enjoy yourself. He went to the third lady and said to her, so did you mind waiting? And she said, well, as a matter of fact, I did. She said, I've had to stand in line all my life. I've stood in line at the supermarket. I've stood in line when I went to school. I stood in line when I registered my kids. I stood in line when I went to the movies. I stood in line basically my whole life. And I kind of resent having to stand in line here in heaven. St. Peter said, well, I can understand that. I've got just one more question for you. How do you spell Czechoslovakia? My point is this. Sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes we need to wait on God. If there's a decision that you're facing and you're not quite sure what direction to go, maybe it's better to wait for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's God's way of saying it's better to wait. Jesus gives us moments of wow when we experience forgiveness. Count your wows. Jesus tells us, you are witnesses of these things. Share the good news. And sometimes our best response is to stay where we are until we've been clothed with power from on high. Or in other words, to wait.